If one was traveling and didn't have a lulav to use, when he gets home, he has to take the lulav. Even if he remembered in the middle of his meal, he has to interrupt his meal and shake the lulav. If one did not take the lulav in the morning, he must do so in the afternoon, because the entire day is kosher to perform the mitzvah of lulav. Another mission says that one need not interrupt his meal to daven, or presumably to do any mitzvah, and he can wait until he finishes his meal. So how come over here by the lulav he has to stop his meal? How come the mission says he has to stop his meal? And for the Gemara of Safa said, our mission is discussing where there's not enough time left in the day to allow him to wait till after the meal. That mission is discussing where there still is enough time in the day, and that's the difference. Rava asked, the Mishnayos are not at all contradictory, because our mission is dealing with the Deraisa mitzvah, and the other mission is dealing with the Derabbanan, which is, maybe that's why he doesn't have to interrupt his meal. So rather, Rava said the contradiction, that if there is a contradiction, it's from the second part of our Mishnah, which says that one may wait until the afternoon to take the lulav, which suggests that he doesn't have to interrupt his meal. To that, which is says at the beginning of the Mishnah. To that contradiction, Rav Safra said, the beginning of the Mishnah is discussing where there's not much time left in the day, and the end of the Mishnah is discussing where there is still sufficient time left in the day. Rav Zeira asked, why must we say that the Mishnah is contradictory? Maybe the Mishnah means to say that lechatchila one must interrupt his meal, but if he doesn't, he may still take the lulav all day. Rather, Rav Zeira said that the contradiction being addressed is from our Mishnah to the other Mishnah that discusses davening, as we said originally. Although Rav asked that our Mishnah is deraisa and the other is only derabbanan, that's not necessarily true. We could say that our mission is discussing a day other than the first day of Sukkot, in which case the whole taking of the lulav is also only derabbanan. A proof to this is the fact that the Mishnah said if someone travels and doesn't have a lulav, if we're discussing the first day of Yom Tov, how would he be permitted to travel at Yom Tov? It must be that the Mishnah is discussing another day of Sukkot Chol HaMoed, and that's why he was traveling. As you see, it's another day, that's why it's only derabbanan, and that's why the steer could be from the Mishnah of davening, because it's derabbanan and derabbanan. Zok the Mishnah, if one has a slave, or a woman, or a minor, or a cotton, read the halal for him, and he intended to be yoytze by listening to the slave, the woman, or the cotton reading for him and then answering, he must repeat each and every word after them, and he should be cursed for being so unlearned as to need to come onto these type of people to be yoytze. If someone has an adult male read the halal for him, he only has to say haleluka. In a place where the custom is to say the psukim twice, one should say them twice. Where the custom is to say it only once, he should say it only once. Where the custom is to end halal with a bracha, one should do so. One should follow the local custom. Zokta Gemara, Braitza says that in truth they said, Be'emes Amru, a man may be yoytze with the Birkas HaMazon said by his cotton son, his slave, or his wife. However, the Chacham said a curse should come onto him, on such a person who is so unlearned that he needs his wife or his children to say Birkas HaMazon for him. Rava said we can learn some important halachas from the way that our custom dictates that halal be said, and we can see how the original institution of the saying of halal was performed. He explains, the Chazan begins by saying Halleluka, and the people will then repeat it after him. From here we learn, it's a mitzvah for the people to repeat the word Halleluka after the Chazan at the beginning of the Hallel. We said then the Chazan then says Hallelu Avdei Hashem, and the people then say Halleluka. From here we learn that if one is being yoytze with the Chazan, he only has to say Halleluka. We said that the Chazan then says Hoidu Hashem, and the people repeat it after him. From here we see that when being yoytze with the Chazan, one must repeat the first phrase of each paragraph after the Chazan says it. The Chazan then says, On Hashem Mashiach, and the people then repeat it after him. From here we learn that if one is trying to be yoytze with the reading of a cotton, he has to repeat everything that the cotton says. He then said, the Chazan says, On Hashem Aslicha, and the people then repeat it after him. From here we learn out that one may repeat the psukim of Halal as he says it, if he so desires. The Chazan then says, Baruch Haba, and the people respond, B'Shem Hashem. From here we learn the concept of Shemei Ka'ina, listening to something with the intent to be yoytze, is as if one said it himself. They asked, if one listened but he didn't respond by saying Halleluka or Amen, etc., as he should have, is he still Yoytze because he did listen? Rav Chiya bar Abba answered, he is Yoytze. Bar Kapor gave the source for this concept of Shemei Ko'ina. So the Pasuk says that Yoshiyahu read the words of the Sefer. However, in actuality, it was Shafan who read it, not to Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu didn't read it himself, and yet it says that Yoshiyahu read the words. We learn from here that Shemei Ko'ina. Maybe Yoshiyahu read it after Shafan. Rabbi Achav Yaakov said, the Pasuk later says that Yoshiyahu humbled himself when he heard the words of the Sefer. The teacher, he actually did not read it himself, he just listened. The fact that the Pasuk says that he read it, we see Shemei Akeoina. Rava said that in Halal one should not say Baruch Haba and then take a pause before saying B'Shem Hashem. Rather, it should be said together as one statement. Rava said one should not say Yehei Shmei Rabba and then pause before saying Mevorach. Rather, it should be said as one statement. Rav Safra disagreed with both of these statements of Rava. He said the second half of both of these statements are clearly the concluding parts of the first half. Therefore, there is no problem even if a pause is made.